So, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayera. So, this is the beginning of the Makkos. We went through the Golos, Parsha Shemos, we explained that. Now in Vayera, there's a big theme at the beginning of the Parsha. And that's what's called Vayera. And God showed. Vaydeber Elokim El Moshe. Vaydeber, Loshen Kasha. He spoke to Moshe in a hard way. V'yom elav, ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Says Rashi, because Moshe came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And he was spoken a difficult way. It says, lama harotem lama zeh, why you did this bad to this people, right? I'm coming to be Migael them, to redeem them, and Paro's making it harder, right? So he comes and he tells him, ani Hashem, Neman the Sharem Schatov, Lumithalchim Lefanai, to those who go in front of me. Velo Lachinam Sharachticha. I didn't send you for free. Ki im Lekaim Dvarai. To establish my word, Shidibatu Laavot HaRishonim. I spoke to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? So it says, now the next pasuk it says, Va'era el Avraham, Vel Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bekel Shakai. Right? Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. And my name was not nodati lahem. What does it mean? Vare avot bekel shakai. What does kel shakai represent? So it says, Hiftachtim haftachot. I promise promises. Bekura amati lahem ani kel shakai. So the promising of promises is kel shakai. Shaddai, Rashi says in those places, Shaddai leKadosh Baruch Hu to keep. It's sufficient for Kadosh Baruch Hu to keep his haftachot. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lehem. Lo hodati, that they didn't know about it, ein kativ kan. And lo nodati was not known. I wasn't known in the world. Lo nikati lehem b'minat amititi. Amitit. I wasn't recognized to them, this midashili. Sha'alei nikra shmi. This is my name. Hashem ne'eman. What's this name? Hashem ne'eman la'amet varai. To make truthful his words, Sharehiftachti, I promised Bekel Shakai, Velo Kiyamti, and I didn't Mekayim. So the shame Hashem is the shame of Kiyum, of his promises. Kel Shakai is the shame of promises, like we said. Shame Hashem is the being of those promises. That's why the shame Havaya is the shame of the verb to be. Right? Haya Hove Yeh. Kodesh Baruch Hu is, he's being in the world. His being in the world, his existence in the world, his representation in the world, right? It comes from Shem Havaya. That means the being of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the being of his presence in the world, i.e. the clear being of his presence, which is the fulfilling of that which he promised. He promised to be in the world with the Jewish people. He promised to take them out of Egypt. So now, this is a very important nekuda. Shem Havaya represents, and this is what Yetzirah Mitzrayim, we mentioned Yetzirah Mitzrayim, Kiddush, Kriyat Shema, twice a day in Kriyat Shema, all the time, Zeichel Yetzirah Mitzrayim, Zeichel Yetzirah, what's a Zeichel Yetzirah Mitzrayim? What are you remembering Yetzirah Mitzrayim? We went out of Egypt once, right? We have to remember again and again and again. This parsha is telling us what this means. This parsha is telling us when the Kriyat Baruch Hu was being in the world, and showed the world that he's in control. That's Shem Havaya. The clarity of the control, the clarity of the being of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the lower world and in connecting what's called Hashgacha, that Kodesh Baruch Hu's Mashgiach over the world, that's the shame of being. And he's doing that, and that's what he's now coming to be revealed in the world. That's what Yetzirah Mitzrayim is about. Yetzirah Mitzrayim is about Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, that's precious. Yetzirah Mitzrayim is Kodesh Baruch Hu's Mashgiach on the world. He's connected to the world through who? Through the Jewish people. That's the Makkos. That's why every time we say Hotzeiti Me'eretz Yisrael, yeah? We're Zeichel Yetzirah Mitzrayim, remembering what Mitzrayim, what do you mean remembering Yetzirah Mitzrayim? Remembering that Kodesh Baruch Hu is involved personally in the lives of the Jewish people and in our individual lives. And that's what Shem Havaya means, that he's being in the world. He is existing. You see clearly his existence in the world. Clear? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the revelation. V'gam hakimoti et briti itam. I established my bris with them. The tetlaim et eretz kanaan et eretz migurayim, the land of their dwelling, asher garuba. So now we're seeing that the Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim is not for Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim. It's to get them to Eretz Yisrael. And we know from previous parashas, it's to get Matan Torah and to get into Eretz Yisrael. So, the tachlis of the Gili of Shem Havaya is the being ultimately into Eretz Yisrael, and that Havaya is going to be in the Beit HaMikdash. That's the Chibu of Elyonim Tachtonim, so that's where Shem Havaya is Begilui. And that's the tachlis of the Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, to be revealed to Shem Havaya in the world, and to reveal the Jewish people that they are the ones who are them, through them is going to reveal the Shem Havaya. Like I said, that's what Yehudi means. Yehuda, we get the name Yehuda from Yehudi from Yehuda, we explain. And that's really Shem Havaya. Within Yehuda is the Shem Havaya. If you take away the Dalet, you have Shem Havaya. Right? Yud Kei Vav Kei. Explained that already. That's Malchus. That's expression of Malchus. Of course, being in the world. That's it. Now we go through the part, and I'm going to read quickly a bit more. The Gamani Shamatit Nakat Bnei Yisrael, I hear crying of the Jewish people, Hashem Mitzrayim Abidim Otam, Veskor Et Briti, and I'm going to remember my bris. It doesn't sound from the parsha to the Kodesh Baruch Hu that we deserve to come out from ourselves. He's remembering the bris of the fathers. It's the schus of us that takes us out. Now, what is speaking kasher to Moshe? We see from Rashi. Kodesh Baruch Hu's kiru, he's mitlonen. He's how do you say mitlonen? He's complaining. Like, you know, the others, I promised them something. They didn't ask me for signs. They didn't complain. Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining the whole time. You know, the good old days with the others. Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining. Chazal say, because the complaints of Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't so to enter Eretz Yisrael. Why did that to be complaining over? Why did Moshe have to complain? Why you did bad to the people? You told them to be goel them? Last week's parasha and gave them what have to get. Now you have to get hay for themselves to make the bricks. What's happening here? We know. We say every davening, we say in Tefillah Shabbos, Eved Ne'eman. Moshe Rabbeinu was an Eved Ne'eman. Was a... how you say it? A servant, a trustworthy servant. Where's trustworthy here? You have to understand something. It's a very, very big yisod. Klal Yisrael weren't deserving of Geula. They were on the 49th level of impurity. They didn't deserve Geula. Moshe Rabbeinu had to invoke Geula. He had to, like, not say put pressure, but he had to To'en, he had to be, you know, To'en v'nitan, he had to claim from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, be goel your people. He had to come and say, why are you doing bad to your people? You said you're going to be goel them. And so Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm going to. But he was invoking the Geula. Since he was invoking the Geula, right, and the Jewish people weren't yet deserving of that Geula, they weren't on the level for Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to see that Moshe Rabbeinu, Bamid Bamor, when we learn about the rock, that's the reason Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Because the Jewish people weren't on the level to receive him. He was on a different level to them. And therefore he couldn't be a manhig of them. But it starts here. It starts here when the Jewish people were supposed to be 400 years in Mitzrayim. They're only 210. Says the apostle, B'chipazon yatsu Mitzrayim. They came out quickly. Because they were on the 49th level of impurity. Had they stayed there, like it says in the Haggadah, we wouldn't have come out. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to invoke the Geula. And that's this, you know, the back and forth with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says, now it says, Lachin, Emor l'bnei Yisrael, tell to the Jewish people, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. He's revealing his name. I am Hashem. I'm the one who's going to be. He's going to connect to the world. You're going to see that the world, physical world, is not dependent on Shem Elohim. It's dependent on Shem Havaya, which is a much higher level. Yes? Says the Sfarim that Paro knew Elohim. He knew Etzbe Elohim, the Chautumim. They saw Etzbe Elohim. They saw it. It was clear. Pharaoh had shlita. He had dominion in all the physical world. Not one eved, not one servant left Egypt because of the kishuf of Pharaoh, the Chartumev. No one. He had complete shlita on the physical world. There was no way, and the Jews knew that. They saw in the Mazalot, there was no chance. Mitzrayim was sholet. They were there 210 years, slavery for 210 years. There was no chance of them escaping. V'lachein emol ebnei Yisrael, ani Hashem, hotzeiti v'hotzeiti etchem, mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, from the sevel of Mitzrayim, v'hitzalti, and I will be... when you matzil someone, you like save him from the avod of Mitzrayim, the ga'alti, and then I will reveal them. These are four lashonos of geula, connected to the arba kosot, right? Etchem bezruah nutuyah, with an outstretched hand. That's the makot. Ubishvatim gedolim, right? That's the ga'alti. V'lakachti etchem li la'am, and I'll take you to me as a people. That's matan Torah. V'ayiti lachem lelokim, and I'll be to you as a God. V'yidatem, then you will know. V'yidatem is always Loshon of Chibur. V'yadat chava ishto. Only after Matan Torah, it's a Chibur. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am God your Lord. Hamotzi etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. Right? So we see the stages. First, you have to be removed from the Ra, the Avodah Kasha of Mitzrayim. Removed from the Yetzahara. Right? That's the Inyan. Right? That's why the Hashbotah, that's why we have Matzah. There's no Sa'or Shabitza, Zuzi Yetzara. First, the removal of the Sa'or. Right? Then the Ga'alti Etchem, Bezruah Netuyah. The Ga'alti is the Makas, the 10 Makas. Not only were we removed from the Avodah of Mitzrayim, but they still had an Egyptian mentality. They still had a slave mentality. They were not a free people. They didn't have the mentality of a free people. The makas were there for the Jewish people. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the last five makas, made hard, Paro's heart, we're going to see that. To show his muftim, for what? Ki ani Hashem. To make them realize that I am a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm Sholet, not Paro Sholet. Yeah? That's what you see by Eved Ivri. Remember we're going to learn in Parshas Mishpatim? Right? He says, I want to be an Eved. So he says, Ozen Shamata Mehat Sinai. Avadaihem, velo avadim lavadim. You want to be an eved? You have the mentality of an eved. You're not an eved to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're not a free man. That's the concept of Mitzrayim. A shibud to Mitzrayim is a servitude of this. A servitude, Pharaoh, remember we said in Mitzrayim, represents Meitza, the tsarness of life. The Yetzirah. Our servitude to the Yetzirah is what brings Tzar to a person. But Ramchal says in Derech Etz Chaim that don't think that the reason you have Tzar in your life, you have pain in your life, or you have, you know, is because of your physicality. It's not because of your physicality. Adam HaRishon was also physical. The pain that a person, the tzar, the mitzrayim, the tzar that a person has in his life, mokum tzar, mitzrayim represents that pain. Sivlot mitzrayim, the sevel of mitzrayim, is the sevel of paro, is the sevel of yetzahara. It's the averas that you do because of your yetzahara. That's what gives the person the sevel. That's the first thing the person has to remove from himself, his yetzahara, his connection to his yetzahara. How is that? That's be rude. Sivlot mitzrayim. You need the makot. Sometimes it takes makot, sometimes it takes these, something to wake him up, that he's removed from the sevel of Mitzrayim. And then he has the ga'alti, that's the ga'alti, the makot. And then there's lekachtali la'am. Lekachtali la'am, that's kiddushin. Lekicha, you guys learn kiddushin. Lekicha, kicha, we stay here from. Lekachtali la'am. Where's that kicha? Ve'erastichli, right? You're married to me, the tefillin that you put in the morning. The erusa. Right? Morasha. We say Loshon of Erusin. That's the binding to the Torah, the binding to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's Matan Torah. It's Erusin and Chuppah. Tachti Taha, right? It's Chuppah as well. That's when we become one as a nation to people. Then, there's the final one. Ve'eveti etchem. Ha'aretz asher nasati et yadi. Heveti, right? Matan Torah klapik Eretz Yisrael, Matan Torah is chuppah. Not chuppah, is the wedding day, right? Veveti, he brings, the husband brings the kala home. That's the Eretz Yisrael to the house. That's you're living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Heveti. These are the dagos of the Abakosot. And this is the same in every human being, in every part of his life. He goes through part of life, which is the Tsar of Mitzrayim. Then, those difficulties, those makot that happen to awaken him, to take him, to remove him from that avdus, from that mentality that, oh, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to, you know, you have this to do and this to do. And he has so many things that are mitzayer him, to take him out from his avodas Hashem. So he's woken up from that. There's a pain. And then he comes to lekachti, then he comes to a realization that he has something new, some new connection. He has to make a connection with his Creator. Life isn't about this, it can't be about this. And then he comes to live. That's coming to Eretz Yisrael. He comes to live with his Creator. That's the ksuva. I explained to you, the Yud-Kei and the Vav-Kei. Matan Torah is the Yud-Kei, Eretz Yisrael is the Vav-Kei. It's bringing Shechina v'tachtonim. And the whole point of this, like we said, is Ani Hashem. I am Shem Havai. I'm being with you. I'm living with you. That's the whole point of Mitzrayim. You understand? Make sense? Matzah means Meitzah, means Meriva. You always, that's what the word Matzah means, Meriva.
What's Meriva?
Fighting. So it means there's always a fight. When you have matzah, when you're making matzah, right? You always see the Shem Mitzvah's matzah, and they're always pounding the matzah, right? They're fighting with it, literally. They're pounding it so it doesn't become chametz. It naturally becomes chametz. The person leaves himself, his Yetzirah is naturally going to take over. The only way he can remove his Yetzirah is through fight. Meitzah, Meriva, fighting with it. If he does it, you know, someone says, Rabbi, I don't have any, you know, it was easy for me to get up, it was easy. It's easy for me to do all these things. If life's easy, there's no fight, it's a sign the Yetzirah is winning. There's no fight, life's going, the Yetzirah is there. There has to be a fight. There has to be something you're straining on, that you're working on. And if you're not working on it, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give it to you. If you don't come to a Matzah Meriva with Yetzirah, then you're in Mitzrayim. Then you have Sivrot Mitzrayim. The strains of Mitzrayim. You with me? Understand? Ve'veti etchem el ha'aretz asher nasati et yadi letet ota la'Avraham Yitzchak li'Yakov v'natati ota lachem morasha as an inheritance. Ani Hashem. Morasha is, that's Erusin, right? That's what we said. Morasha. Eretz Yisrael is to bring Moreshet, our Torah to Eretz Yisrael and live with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? That's the Ksuvah. That's the living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the final thing. So the Parashas here, really an introduction to everything that's going to be happening to the Jewish people. Really straight after Matan Torah, we're supposed to enter quickly into Eretz Yisrael, and that's living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael. And then from Eretz Yisrael we go to Olam Haba. That's it. If Moshe Rabbeinu had entered Eretz Yisrael, he's Mashiach, and the strain of Olam Haba, finished. Right? We see already the signs beforehand that this fighting Moshe Rabbeinu, this claiming of Moshe Rabbeinu to bring on the Gula, he wasn't yet ready. Klal Yisrael wasn't ready, but we had no choice. So it says now, Vaita. Vaydeber Moshe ken el b'nei Yisrael, v'lo shamu el Moshe. They didn't listen to Moshe. Mikotze ruach u'mavode kasha. So kotze ruach. They didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Comes the Goel, they're not listening to him. Not listening to him. Kol mishu meitzer rucho v'nishmato k'tzara. Einu yechol la'arich v'nishimato v'karvli. He has short breath. Right? Now remember we explained that ruach is the place where a person lives. Either the chiyus of a person v'yipach ba'apav nishmat chayim. Right? So it says ruach malala, says Onkelos. The breath of speech, of real speech. Right? So, kotzer ruach sounds, when a person is, you know, his ruach is katzah, he's not breathing properly, there's a problem, there's his life, there's a problem with his living. You understand what I'm saying? So, kotzer ruach is a sign that the Jewish people didn't have their ruach, that a short ruach, either they were losing their ruach, that's a sign that they were on a lower level. And that's why they weren't listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. You understand? They couldn't hear the Gula. They couldn't hear that they could reach the heights of coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They couldn't hear the Cheiris. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, bo, daber al Paro. Go, speak to Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, yishlach et bnei Yisrael me'altso, and he'll send the Jewish people from his land. Vaydaber Moshe lefnei Hashem lemor, hem bnei Yisrael lo yishamu elai. He made a kal v'chomer. Jewish people aren't listening to me. Right? Ve'ech yishmu'uni, mishma'eni, Paro, v'ani aral sfataim. And I am an aral sfataim. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know why Paro's not going to listen to me? I need aral sfataim. Rashi, what's aral sfataim? Atum sfataim. My lips are closed. V'ken kol loshon orla. Now see how Rashi says here. All loshon orla, ani omer shu atum. It's closed. Ola oznam, atum mishma. The ears are closed from hearing. Arle lev, atumim meavin. Their hearts are closed from understanding. Shata gam atem va'arel, he'etem mishichrut kosa klala. That means our bodies, right, are closed because of their drinking. They're ne'etamim. They drank from the kosa klala. The kos is kos of brocha, and this kos of klala. Right? That's Paro, that's Mitzrayim. That's the Yetzirah. Orel basa, the flesh is arel. Shagid atum mechusaba. The gid, right? The mokum abris has the aura on it, it's covered. And now it says the final thing. For olatem olato, asuli otem vekisui, isu. Shiyavdil bifnei achilato. That means orla is something which is separate from you not to eat it. It's muvda. Yeah? So it says, 3 years it'll be orla for you. Atum, it's closed, muchusen, covered, umuvda, and separate, mileachol. Here's Rashi really explaining what's happening here. Moshe Rabbeinu is atum from the Jewish people. He's muchusen. Why is he muchusen? Why is he covered? Because what Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu knows, the Jewish people are covered from. He's an RL in expressing his Torah to the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu's level is too much to express in words to connect to the Jewish people. He's a tomb. He's covered from them. That's what he said before. And why is that? Because they have an orless and ozen. They don't know that they're closed from listening. Their hearts are closed from hearing. Right, this is just an explaining of the Kotzer Ruach, right? They goof. They don't have a bris. Remember, just before, in Parshas Bo, Klal Yisrael don't have a bris. Their basa, their flesh, is mechuser. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is muvdal from them. He's separate from them. So Rashi is hinting to us the state of the Jewish people, explaining here this Rashi. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was Aral Sfataim. And how is Paro going to listen to me? What do you mean, how is Paro going to listen to me? If the Jewish people are so separate from me, the Yetzirah has so much shlita on them, how is Paro going to listen to me? How am I going to be able to take the Jewish people out of here? So what's Moshe, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer? Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron v'yitzavem o bnei Yisrael. And he commanded them, the Jewish people, ve'el Paro melech Mitzrayim lehotzi bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Now here he says, "Lefish." Rashi says, "Lefish Amar Moshe Ani Aral Sfatayim Tziref Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Aaron Liyoto Lepeh Ulemelitz." Aaron's going to be the one who's going to be a peh. A peh means, yeah, paw. Here, he's going to be the explaining of what his words mean. Paw, right? Ulemelitz, right? Lemelitz Yoshe. He's going to be metargim. He's going to like Hamelit Benotam by Menashe. He's going to explain Moshe's words to the Jewish people. He's going to be Moshech them. That's what he say. Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. Oev the Bris Makavon Torah. Aaron's purpose is to bring the people close to the words of the Torah, close to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the midah of Aaron, and that's where he gets his midah from. From here, he's the Peh Ulemelitz. He's the one. Even when the people are far away from Torah, he's moshech them to Torah. He's moshech them to Moshe Rabbeinu. And now that we have Aaron, Now he can speak to Melech Yisrael. Now he can speak to him. Now we have that koach of bringing the Jewish people to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we can, right? Then now he says, "Vitzavem," and he commanded them, "El Bnei Israel, Tzivam Aleim, Lanhigam Benachat." How do you bring them close? You have to speak to them with Nachat, Ulisibolotam, and to, how you say, to
what's
take
Nachat,
nachat like Benachat Ruach. You speak to someone pleasantly. Nicha, you say in the Gemara, right? Lisbolotam, and lisbol means to take the sevel, take the pain of them, right? Someone, you know, is irritating you, you sevel them, right? There's going to be a lot of sevel that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have with the Jewish people. They're going to ask him for this, ask him for that, right? Velparo, this is very strange, Rashi. It also says about Paro, Meretzraim. Tzivam alav lachlok lo kovod bedvarim bedivrehem. To give Paro kovod. There's a mitzvah here to give Paro kovod. This Paro? What's he giving him kovod here? What's he giving him kovod? I don't understand this Rashi. I don't understand what Chazal's teaching us here. I don't understand. Why? Because they say, okay, he's a melech, so I have to give him kovod. But that's biyachad with the Jewish people. I'm trying to convince the Jewish people to come close to Moshe, and I'm going to give Paro kovod. I don't understand. Okay. So it says, now, says Rashi, we go now through a whole parsha. We went through all of this, right? We gave an answer. Now we come. Ere Rosh Beit Avotam, Bnei Reuven, B'chol Yisrael. We go through all the yichus of Moshe, right? Umitoch, says Rashi, mitoch shuskak liyaches shifto shel Levi. We have to be miyaches shifto Levi. So you remember the you say, Reuven, right? We go through the whole toldos, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, right? And then we go into the details of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Bishvil Ach, right? Bishvil Ad Moshe V'Aaron, Bishvil Moshe V'Aaron Hitchil Yachsam Derech Toldotam Mirubin. Okay. After we're told that Moshe and Aaron are going to be people who are going to take us out of Egypt, we go through the whole Yichus. Why do we need to go through the whole Yichus of Moshe V'Aaron in the middle of them coming out of Egypt? Why? Why does the girl we have to tell about his Yichus? Because Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they're going to be the representation of the Jewish people. They're going to be the koach through which we come out of Egypt. They have to have sitkotam, the yichus of them, mitchila atzof. Not anyone can take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, right? He was tov, there was awe. He was his sitkut, his yichus, was from the beginning. You know Yichus is associated, we see in Parshas, right? Pinchas, I think. We see Yud Kei is associated with Yichus. Mitchile v'atzof, Shem Havaya, is Chal, on someone who's Miyuchas. Someone who's Mitchile v'atzof is Miyuchas, from the beginning to the end, right? There's no pagam in his mishpacha, there's nothing wrong with him. He's Miyuchas, Shem Havaya is Chal alav. Those people who are going to bring Shem Havaya in the world, they have to represent Shem Havaya in their own being. So that's why we have the parasha of Yichus before they bring us out of Egypt. Okay? So now I'm going to skip. So Shlishi. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe elemor. Ani Hashem. Daber el Paro melech Mitzrayim. Et kol asher ani dove elecha. V'yom Moshe lifnei Hashem. Hen ani aro sfatayim. V'ech yishma elai Paro. So we're going back. We went back on this now. Right? So now we go to this whole maysa of the rods, right? So they went to snakes. I'm going to just jump to there, okay? Pasuk Revi, it's Ches, Zayin Ches. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe vel Aaron leimor ki daber aleichem Paro. When you speak to Paro, leimor tenu lachem mofet, give to them a mofet, a sign. V'amarti el Aaron, kach et matecha, take your mate, v'ashlech lefnei Paro, v'yi letanin, and it'll be letanin. And it'll be like a snake, says Rashi, nachash. V'yavo Moshe v'Aaron el Paro, they went to Paro, v'yasu ken, kashe tziva Hashem, they did like a Kodesh Baruch Hu tziva lehem, v'yashlech Aaron et mateu, he threw his rod, lifnei Paro, in front of Paro, lifnei avada, v'yi letanin, and became a snake. What is the sign? Paro, remember, He was a mechashef. He was the biggest mechashef. He was the Rosh HaMechashrim. He was the Rosh of the... He had shlita in the whole physical world, dominion in the whole physical world, through his kishuf. Right? Where's kishuf? It's makish palmali shamala. It's Nigihilu saying, there's another dominion in the world. Yeah, you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's saying... What does a rod represent? Where do we see rods? We see a rod by a Yehuda, the Mate Aaron. Rod represents, when you hold a rod, right? A king has a rod. Rod represents kingship. The Mate, right? That's what it represents. It represents Malchus. When the rod changed to a Nachash, what a Nachash represents? The Nachash represents the Ra in the world. When the Malchus in the world turns into the Ra, it means also the Ra comes from the Malchus. Also the Ra in the world. That's what he's showing Paro. You think you have Shlita? The Ra in the world, the Nachash in the world, comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Comes from the Mateh. So now it says, Vayikre gam Paro lechachamim ulmachshifim, Vyasu gam hem chautumim mitzrayim, Belaateihem ken. What's Belaateihem? Where do you get this word Laateihem? Look at Rashi. Rashi's Belachishon, with their like whispering. Ve'ein lo dimyan b'mikra. I don't find a place similar to that in the mikra. He found one place. Ve'yeshit mot lo lahat acherev. That's the waving of the sword hamitapechet, which turns over. Dome shi mitapechet al yedei lachash. It's similar. It goes. It's mitapech, the sword. Remember when Adam, Arishim, was chote? He left, so it had this lata mitapechet. So says Rashi, al yedei lachash, it's mitapechet. Why is he telling us this? What's the connection between that? After the head of Adam Arishim, which is through the nachash, he was goresh, he was taken out from Gan Eden. And there was a lata mitapechet that stopped it from coming in. There, from there, comes the koach of Latem. Of Paro, i.e., the koach of Paro came from the head of Adam Rishon, i.e., the lower worlds that were created. That was the koach of Paro. So now what we see, that's what Rashi explained to us. Vayishlichu, or hinting to us, vayishlichu ish matehu, vayu letaninim, and his mateh became a tanin. Right? Each one of the chautumim, they threw their mateh. Made Mate also represents the Malchus of Paro, and it became a snake. Now what happens? Vayivla Mate Aaron, says Rashi, when it was still a Mate, it absorbed et Matotam, their Matot. Right?
Was the staff that swallowed, or when he went from snake to staff?
No, the staff swallowed the Matot, says Vayivla Mate Aaron. Ma'acha shechazav nase Mate. When it went back and became a mateh, balad kulam, i.e., the mateh of Aaron, if something is boleh, something means absorbed, that means this is part of this, this is something smaller than this, yeah? If you absorb something, that means you contain it. That means the mateh of Aaron, the mateh, the malchus of Kodesh Baruch Hu, contains within it all the ra in the world. That means it comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. That we have shlita, you don't have shlita. The merame is to Paro. The shlita, the dominion of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he has dominion on all the ra in the world. Not you, Paro. It's not stay. There's not two dominions in the world, right? Now it says, and Paro realizes. V'yichazek lev Paro v'lo shama aleihem kasher dibei Hashem. And Paro's lev was chazak. He didn't want to listen, right? So now, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Kaved lev Paro, me'en l'shalech am. He's going to tell Moshe, the heart of Paro is hard. He's not going to want to send the Jewish people, right? Lechel Paro baboker, go to Paro baboker. V'ine yotzei maima. He's going out to the maima. Rashi says maima. What's maima? Lenekavav. He's going to do ketanim. Shai ose atzmo eloka, Eloah. He made himself into a god. Va'omer she'eino tzarich l'nekavav. I don't need this. Umashkim V'yotze l'nilus v'oseh sham sochav. He goes to Nilus, and there he does what he needs to do. Why? So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to time when Paro is telling everyone, I don't need. Why? What's this about? He's making himself godly. He doesn't go for the kavav. What's his vote? What's so godly about that? He does muftim, he brings shefa to the world, right? He calls the Nile. The Nile goes up to him, right? You can imagine, every morning he goes, power goes to the Nile, and the whole Nile comes, and mashke all the sadot of Mitzrayim, and they have brocha. All the farmers, you know, power's going, they're waiting, because all the Nile's coming up, and for the brocha of Yaakov, and it's all the fields. What's his fault? He's trying to say, we see by man, that the Jewish people, when they had man, they didn't need to go. Because it was Lechem Elohim, it was a chibur of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Paro wanted to say, I don't have any psolet. There's no psolet, there's no bad, there's no ra coming out from me. I'm not physical. The kavam represents a person's physical. There's a biru of tov ra. I don't need any biru. I'm godlike, I'm God. He realized there was a God. What he means? He's Elohim. Elohim means when you have dominion. He had dominion on the world of Elohim, on the physical world. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to tell him, he told him already before, you're not Elohim. You're not Elohim. You're not God. He told him by the Mate. Now he's telling him, see, you have psolet. That's the second remez. You don't have dominion. It's a dimion. You're pretending you have dominion of the physical. You don't have real dominion. Because Baruch has dominion. So that's what we're going to show. That's the whole vault. First we're hinting it to Paro, and now Paro, his lev is hard, now we're going to show it in the Makot. So now he says, V'amate elav Hashem Elokei Ha'ivrim, Shalachani elecha lemo, shalach et ami v'yavduni. And they will serve me midbar. V'nei lo shamata at ko. You didn't hear at ko. Now it says, Ko ama Hashem bezot teda ki ani Hashem, v'nei anuchi makeh v'mateh, Hashem b'yadi al amayim. So the first thing the gets is Hashem b'yov v'nechul adam. The first thing, says Rashi here, what do we do? Right? All the sustenance of Mitzrayim comes from the Nilus. Nile, right? And the first thing Kodesh Baruch Hu does is he kills the Avodah Zorah. From the Nile came Paro's being the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim. The sustenance of Mitzrayim came from the Nile, which is under the control of Paro. First, the Kodesh Baruch Hu in Makkah, he removes the Avodah Zorah. He removes what they serve. They serve the Nile, right? Hatanin Agadol, that's Paro, right? That's the first Makkah. Now, with this Makkah, all the mind, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to try and go through each of the Makkot. What did it do? All the waters were dam. The Mitzrayim said, I'm going to drink with you from the same cup. You drink from one side, I drink the other side, right? The Jewish people drank water, the Mitzrayim drank dam. Only when they paid them, did they get? Why do you need that? Why do you need that? Why have they paid them? Remember, what is this for? The Jewish people are still slaves. Even in the Makkah's dam, they listened. You drink this side, I drink that. You know, like, I'm not giving you any water. Why should they want to give them water? They were still slaves. They were still slave mentality. Even though they saw this Makkah, and Chautumei Mitzrayim could do the same one. Still at this stage, we're saying what? Paro saying what? You're just a big mechashef. You're just a big, how you say?
Sorcerer.
You know, different from what we have in Mitzrayim. So children are still unsure yet. So Kodesh Baruch Hu does it, you have to pay me. They're beginning to take their money. Give me your money. They wanted to pay you. I'm going to pay you. Give me some water. Here's money. Give me some water. They paid damim yakarim. It's to remove this mentality from them, this slave mentality. They're not dependent on Mitzrayim. That's the first plague, right? They didn't give them water. when they were serving. So they also didn't get water. But it's the makkah is the dam. Why dam? Why bedafka dam? Paro bathed in the dam of the Jewish people. He killed the tinokot. We know from Rashi, the Na'akat of the Israel. They bathed in the dam of the Jewish people. So their sustenance came dam. Yeah? So that's the first makkah. Makes sense. Second one. So. And we know from Rashi, he see from Pasuk Kaf, we see from Rashi that each, and from the Pasuk, V'imaleh shivet yamim achrei akot Hashem et ha-yo'or. So each makkah was for like 3 weeks of hatra'ah, right? And 1 week of the makkah. Also, each makkah was in total a whole month. So the 10 makkahs were around 10 months. This was a long period of time. This is, even though it like came out just 2 parashas in the Chumash, this was a long period of time. Then there was a wait, and there was another makkah. Then it was Moshe Rabbeinu matreh them, and then the makkah was another for 7 days.
What's the significance of 3 weeks after? Why not 1 week and then another plague?
Not just a good question. I don't know the answer. I can understand why the plague has to be 7 days, because 7 represents physicality. Mm-hmm. So 7 days means complete dominion on physicality. Why you need the whole month, I'm not sure why the whole month. Maybe there's a concept of Yoreach. The Yoreach, a dominion in the whole month, is also a dominion. Like a Yoreach is associated with night. So the month is associated with night. So the night is when we see the Mazalot, when we see the stars, the constellations. So when a Makkah is for a whole month, you know, the Hatra'ah of the Makkah, and the actual Makkah for a week, it means it's representing that there's complete dominion over the constellations. Maybe that's the hint. I'm not sure. Okay? So now it says, now the next Makkah. So we have now, remember, the Makkahs are going like this. We have the Makkah on the waters. So we have two Makkahs. First of all, no sustenance from the water. It went to dam. Right? Now, what's coming from the water? A Sfaradeya. One Sfaradeya, says Rashi, because Rashi in Pasuk is Sfaradeya Allah, right? V'ta'al ha-Sfaradeya. Pasuk base, ches base. V'tachas et ha'aretz et eretz Yitzrayim. How did it cover? Because they beat it. They didn't want it, they beat it. And the more they beat it, more Sfaradeyim were coming out, right? So, what happens here? Why the Sfaradeya is the next thing that happens? Not only you're not getting sustenance from the yor, from the waters is going to be a place of your pain, your tzai, your destruction. And what these Sfaradim do, they jumped into their mouth, they went into their stomach. It was painful. There was a pain, there was a tzai that it caused in Mitzrayim. The tzai of the affliction was now given back to them with the tzai of the Sfaradeya. The sustenance of the Yo'or, not only the Yo'or have dominion on the Yo'or, that it's not going to give you sustenance, it's also going to give you pain. So that's the two makkahs on the waters, right? On the Yo'or. I.e. the sustenance of Mitzrayim, not only is a place for Yo'or, i.e. that's not going to be, I have dominion on that sustenance, it's also going to be a place for your pain, the Sfaradim, right? And the more you don't recognize the dominion that I have, the more that you're hitting that Sfaradeya, you don't recognize the dominion I have, the worse it's going to be. It's going to come out more and more Sfaradeyim, right? Until you come to recognize Shani Hashem, I am the one who showed it on the physical world. Yeah? And we see the Sfaradeyim, right? V'achberet libo, v'yar paro, ki aitar haravacha, because they had all these frogs there, right? I don't know, the frogs, the Sfaradim. V'achber et libo, and he made his heart heavier. So now we have the third makkah. What's the third makkah? It's the makkah, right, of the kinim. The kinim is where? On the ground. So we went from the waters, and now we're having dominion on the ground, right? I'm going to see the same thing. The Sfaradim wasn't a creation. The Sfaradim wasn't a new thing. The Sfaradim came from the Yo'or, right? That's the place of it. He just gathered all of them to come together, right? Same thing with the blood. Still now, even the Sfaradim, Chatumei Mitzrayim could do it. I only didn't explain one thing. I didn't explain, so far this is all done through Aaron HaKohen. Why? because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to hit the waters or the land because he had benefit from them.
Mm.
Right? Well, that doesn't make sense. What do you have to benefit from them? He's now going to hit them, so they're going to express a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. There can't be a bigger Kiddush Hashem that I bring the waters or I bring the land to Kiddush Hashem. So why can't he hit it? He's doing good. They're showing the dominion of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's doing good for them. They're showing that they're avadim of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But still for Moshe Rabbeinu, who was hitting? Still for Moshe Rabbeinu, from his point of view, that sensitivity, even for Kiddush Hashem, if that Kiddush Hashem is going to ruin your sensitivity, your Hakara Satov, don't do it. You're seeing what importance it is, this Midah of Hakara Satov. Hakara Satov is more important than Kiddush Hashem. Otherwise it doesn't make sense. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to make a Kiddush Hashem through the mime, through the thing. No, have Hakara Satov. You don't lose our sensitivity even for Kiddush Hashem. It's a big Kiddush, but that's what it's saying. So now we go in weiter.
So you can even strike it,
you're saying? You can strike it. It was done. The Kiddush Hashem was done through Aaron, not through Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu had the sensitivity of Hakara Satov for himself, that he should recognize the Tov that was done to him through these things. Okay. Now there was the Kinim, right? Ba'adam Behema. He brought this from the Yasuken, right? The Yad Aaron et Yado B'matei. V'yach et Afa Aret. He hid the Afa of the land. V'tir Kinim. Kinam Ba'adam Behema. V'kol Afa Aret Haya Kinim B'chol Eretz Yisrael. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing that he has Shlita on the land. First we showed a Shlita on the Maim, now Shlita has dominion on the land. And v'yasu ken achatumim b'la'atehim lehotzi t'akinim v'lo yecholu v'tiye akinam ba'adam v'ayim. They couldn't. V'yomru achatumim el paro etz be'elokim hui v'yichazek le paro v'lo shamay aleihem kasher dibei Hashem. And paro didn't listen to them, like said, even though he said etz be'elokim. How does it make sense? The Chautamim will realize that this is Etz Be'elokim. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya here, that if they recognize, why Paro didn't recognize? He didn't. The Chautamim didn't say that. Didn't say this is God working. They said this isn't coming from the sorcery of Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron. This is a mikra. This happened to happen that something's happening to Mitzrayim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing to do with Moshe Aaron, right? That's why V'chazek left Paro. So now we see now. And what Chazal say, why the kinim they have no shlita on? Because they're less than a sa'ora. Because tumah can only, the minimum shear of tumah is a sa'ora. Is the man, the shadim, all the koach of the chatamim comes from hashabat shadim, from causing the shadim, the lower world, to do and influence the physical world. So now that this, they couldn't have shlita on anything which is less than a kinim, than a kina. Right? The kina is too small. So it's no, it has no, they have no dominion over it. That's an interesting halacha. Kinim, says Chazal, aren't puruvu, don't puruvu. I mean, they do, they are physically, they do, but fi Chazal, I mean, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, but fi Chazal, the halacha is they're not puruvu. And therefore you can kill a kina on Shabbos. It's not, it doesn't have fruit, it doesn't fruitful and multiply. Therefore you can kill it on Shabbos. It doesn't have life. It's not considered a living thing. Kina is not considered a living thing. Kina is a
lice.
I don't know if it's lice. Machlok is what it is in the Gemara. But you can kill it. I'm not saying halacha you can kill it, because we don't really actually know what it is. But it's something which doesn't have life. And that's brought from the Afa. Why dafka kinim? Why dafka by kinim are we seeing that they have no dominion? This is something which is living, which isn't considered really living. Because you can kill it on Shabbos, it's not considered hariga, not considered natilis neshama, right? That means it's the lowest form of life that's living without sort of real life. It's an in-between life, between life and... That means even on something which doesn't have life, but is living, a Kodesh Baruch Hu has dominion. That means you only have dominion on something which is alive or something which is physical, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has dominion on even things which don't have life. Complete dominion. That's why the kinim. Etz be'elokim. So now, the next one. Now we saw that the ground became the kinim, that a shlita, and that now it's going to come from the land. What's going to come from the land? The arov. Now the land is going to be mazik them with this arov. Yes? Why the arov? It's going to, these arovs are going to, these are the wild animals, they're going to be attacking them. Just as they beat and they hit the Jewish people, and they ask them to bring for them all sorts of different things, right? And the fear that they cause them, this is the fear that they're going to get, mida keneged mida, keneged the arov. Yes? That's the arov. The mixed, you know, multitude of animals that came to Mitzrayim. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them away. Now, we have the next Makkah. Next Makkah is in Tet. So it says, Vayome Perek Tet, Vayome Hashem Moshe, Boel Paro Dibalte Elav, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Ha'ivrim, Shalach Et Ami V'Yavduni, Send my people. Ve'im, Ki Im Ma'en Ata L'Shalech, Odecha Machzik Bam, and you're holding them. You see from this, the Paro was holding them, as we said before. Hine Yad Hashem Hoya. The hand of Hashem will be b'miknecha, asher b'sadeh, b'susim, b'chamorim, b'gamalim, b'boker, b'baka, b'tzon, dever kaved ma'od. How do you say dever? How do you say dever? I don't know, some sort of, we'll see. So it says, all the flocks of Egypt. Now, just as they were serving, the Nile represents what they were serving in the waters, that was their god in the waters, Mitzrayim were also of the animals. They served the sheep, of their. So here was the killing of their mikne, i.e. of what they felt was the dominion of the land, i.e. the Avodah Zorah of theirs was killed, right? In the waters, that's the Nile, and now the Avodah Zorah was killed through the Deva. Yeah?
Is that the...
So next one is, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Belaron, Kulachem Meloch Hofnechem, Piyach HaKivshan, Vezarku Moshe HaShamayim Aleinei Paro. Now we have... So we've done with the waters, the land, now the Shamayim. So not only now we're showing the different levels. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to have complete dominion in Shamayim. Vayala avak al kol Eretz Mitzrayim. It's like dust on all of Eretz Mitzrayim. The whole, it becomes like dust on the whole of Eretz Mitzrayim, right? From Vaya al Adam v'al Abayim l'shkin porech ababuot b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. It means from the skies is coming all the shkin, right? How you say shkin? These ababuot,
boils.
The boils are coming on the Egyptians and on the animals, right? So that means the ra is coming from the Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing you ra from Shemayim that's on you. And then there's the final one, which is going to be the what's it called? The barad. And there's going to be a very interesting thing about the barad. The interesting thing about the barad, right? So it says, go stand in front of Paro, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Tet Yud Gimel, ki bapam azot, ani sholech et kol magefotai, elibecha to your heart, ubavdecha, ba'mecha, ba'avuteda, ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'art. It's not like me in all ha'art. What's special about it? Right? So here we see, there's something special about the barad. What's special here? Odecha mishtolel, Pasuk Yud Zayin ba'ami, levilti shalcham, hineni mamti ke'et macha, barad kaved ma'od, asher lo haya kamo b'mitzrayim, min hayom, hivasda ad ata. Right? V'ata shalach ha'ez et miknecha, ve'et kol asher lecha b'sadeh, kol ha'adam v'abahima she'yimtza b'sadeh, v'lo yesef ha'baita, v'yired aleim barad v'metu. So now the barad came and killed anyone who was outside. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So it says here, Vahayere, Hayare, et Dvar Hashem. By now we have, it was very clear, even to the Mitzrayim, there was Dvar Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu was being, right? Now we finally came to the place where they say Dvar Hashem. They're not only saying Etzba Elohim, it's Dvar Hashem. Me'avdei Paro, hinisit avadav, v'et miknei olabay batim. Right? So the people who had fear of God, now there's a recognition, even the Mitzrayim recognized this Dvar Hashem. But, and the ones who were fearful, they saved the V'asher lo sam libo el Dvar Hashem. V'yazov et avadav, v'et miknei b'sadeh, and they were killed. Yeah? So now it says, V'yom Hashem, El Moshe natet yadech al Hashemayim, v'yi barad b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, the whole of Eretz Mitzrayim, al Adam v'al Behim, al kol esef asadeh, Eretz Yisrael. There was complete dominion from Shemayim on everything. V'yed Moshe et Mateyu al Hashemayim, v'Hashem natan kolot u'barad, voices in barad, v'tihalach eish arza, came fire arza, v'yamte Hashem barad al Eretz Yisrael. So we have fire with barad, right? So, Nes betoch nes, Pasuk Kav Dalet, right? Vayi barad, ve'esh mitlakachat betoch barad. There was fire inside the barad. Kaved me'od, asher lo haya kamohu b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Me'az hayta l'goy. Nes betoch nes, ha'esh betoch barad. Ha'esh ve'barad muravim. Ha'barad ma'im, the barad is like, the hail is like water. Hu, la'asot rotzon konam asu shalom b'nehim. That means, even those things which don't physically come together from Shamayim, Eish and Mayim, right? Eish and Mayim, that's Shamayim. Remember that Chumash Bereishis, Eish v'Mayim is Shamayim? Only in Shamayim the Eish and Mayim come together. So that's very clear now that Kodesh Baruch Hu has dominion. The Barad represents the Shlita of Shamayim on Aretz. That's Eish Umayim. That's Dafka here. That's why Dafka here we see that they see that it's not only no Etzbe Elohim, it's Dvar Hashem. And those who are fearful of Dvar Hashem put their mikveh inside. Here now, after the seventh plague, right? We now know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has dominion on the Aretz, on the waters, on the land, on the Shamayim. And he has, and it's only in Kodesh Baruch Hu. This can only be Dvar Hashem. Because Eish and Mayim can't be together. Only Eish and Mayim can be when it's Shamayim. When it comes from something at a higher level. When it's beyond the Mazalot. Only then you can have things which are austere, which are contradiction, and be together in doing. They make Shalom Beinehem. They make peace Beinehem. Why? To do Ratzon Konam. Now we have the complete Shlita. Now is the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is complete dominion on Eretz Mitzrayim, on the physical world. Right? So now we have to understand what we need these last three plagues for. Right? Okay, that's going to be next week's parasha. Bezer Hashem.